Good evening or good morning, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service. Glad to be back in fellowship with you and to have those joining us on the phone or listening to the recording. And praise God for his merciful kindness to the children of men. So welcome. Our opening song for tonight's service is, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. O Master, let me walk with Thee in lonely paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the Godward way. Teach me Thy patience still with Thee, in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong.
Oh, now listen, you sang the only verse I know, the first one. Oh, Master, let me, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only Thou canst give. With Thee, O Master, let me live.
Thank you, brother. I think the tune you were singing was to another song that's called the Let Me Walk With Jesus or something like that. But you made it work, so praise God. Praise God indeed. Well, dear ones, it's time for opening prayer, and who here would like to offer that? Please go right ahead.
Our loving Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of meeting up again to be kneeling before your throne and exercising all the abilities you've given us throughout half the week that's gone by. We appreciate the special blessings that have specifically just come to us in our own personal life and our own search for truth and our own exercise of faith in that truth that you've fulfilled to us personally. And we pray that these would increase, testimonies that will testify of your love for the human race who you've bought at an infinite cost and are continuing at the same cost to work right now through your Son Jesus to give us the victory over self, over sin, and hence over death, over misery, over pain that all that selfishness ever brought. Thank you for showing us the way, Jesus, to avoid pain and misery and death that sin brings, and showing us the only other alternative, and being faithful to the end, and constantly working full time to intercede to complete the atonement right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing conviction of sin in all areas and allowing us to take to Jesus everything that is unclean, that is sinful, and Jesus, for you being so willing to clean us, to cleanse us, not to cover it so we can continue in it, but to cleanse us and in its place put your own life, put your own righteous ways within our being. Father, I thank you for the good news that Sister Lucy's cough is almost over and done with. Such good news to hear, and we appreciate hearing from Brother Willington all the way from Africa and his wishes for future missionary endeavors. We ask for your wisdom to appropriately email a response. We thank you for taking care of my mum and allowing her to have a new car, or a second-hand new car, I should say, and the almost fainting that occurred when she received it, that I was there behind her to catch her. I do uphold some individuals that have difficulty understanding you, Father, you, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, who don't understand the significance each of your existence. In fact, to the point where they only believe that there really is only you, Father, and no pre-existence of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit just being a force. I ask that those tracts that were given them, you would impress them deeply in the tracts that other brethren and sisters have shared on this and other vital topics. Will not leave their mind that something will, that you would inspire within them, Holy Spirit, a desire to know that they have facts for their faith. And if that faith isn't supported by facts from the Bible, to see the joy of giving it up so that God's glory and his word can be magnified in their life. And thank you very much for doing this. Look forward to fellowshipping right now with the brethren and sisters, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would be the one that rules over it and presides. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Amen indeed. I have one announcement to make. This next Wednesday, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to do the home church. I might be able to if I get back in time, but there's a good chance I won't be able to be back from a trip I need to take. So if there's anyone here that would like to take over next Wednesday's meeting, please get in contact with me, and we'll make it so that you're able to conduct the room. If not, I can try and contact Sister Rose to see if she'll be able to lead out. And if not, I guess you'll have a church service for those who come that you'll be able to conduct it on your own affairs, your own impressions and thoughts. But anyway, if any are impressed to lead out in next Wednesday's meeting, please let me know, and I'll get everything arranged for you to do so. And thank you so much. We're continuing in our study book of Acts. We're in chapter 10, and we left off at verse 30. And the last thing that we were discussing was that Peter had come to the house of Cornelius, and when he arrived there, Cornelius bowed down before him to worship him, and Peter said, "Hey, you know, don't do that. I'm a man just like you. I'm nothing special. God has just been pleased to manifest his love and compassion upon me, and I was able to be with the Lord for 3.5 years, and he's called me into his ministry. So, you know, worship God. Don't worship me." So then Peter asks, you know, "What's the reason why you've sent for me?" And that's where we pick it up at verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, or about 3 p.m. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now, it's interesting here. The angel came to Cornelius and said, your prayer is heard. Your alms are brought in remembrance before God. So go and ask for one Peter to come and tell thee what you need to do. But it wasn't just Cornelius that was there. All his family were there. There were friends and I imagine other relatives that were all gathered in the house for Peter to come. But this was all done by faith, because the servants came back with Peter and the other Jewish brethren attending with Peter. So there was no servant that was sent back to Cornelius and his household and told them, hey, we've managed to find this Peter, and he's coming in this amount of time. So this was faith being manifested on a big scale here. Faith that not only Peter was where the angel said he was going to be, but faith that Peter would accompany the Gentile servants who came to get him. And faith that Peter was going to be there in such and such a time. So this was not a fixed meeting. This was a tentative meeting for all the people to gather there, which is quite amazing when you think about it. Truly, faith combined with works. But Cornelius had to share with his family what had occurred and with his friends what had occurred for all of them to be there with Cornelius. So even the friends were acting on faith. Quite interesting. Are there any other thoughts or comments? So when Peter got there, here's all these people gathered, and I imagine he was surprised at that. But then Peter begins to speak, and he says quite a bit of words here, but it wasn't a whole sermon. It was just right to the point. And so who would like to read from 34 down to 43?
I guess I will. Somebody put my bubble up. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, even the baptism of which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which hath ordained, was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that though his name, through his name, whosoever believeth in him.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Are there any thoughts or comments, any questions on what was read here? Very simple and straightforward.
Well, the last sentence, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And today I was thinking, do you ever feel like God doesn't hear your prayer? The key word is feel. And I was thinking, how many times do Bible verses start out with, by feel we did this, or by feel we did that? By faith, they all start out by faith. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And it just kind of struck me how sometimes I read the words and they really don't sink in. But when they do, it takes on a whole different meaning. Faith and belief are so important.
Amen. That's very true. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And so when you're making a decision to follow God or not, feelings have no place in that decision, or should have no place in that decision. Feelings change. Emotions are not dependable upon. They're not always the same. They're not always of the same intensity. So you're absolutely correct. We're not to walk by feeling. We're not to walk by sight. We're to walk by faith. So amen. So Peter here said that through Christ's name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And up here in verse 35, Peter had already mentioned that in every nation, and he's including Gentile here, in every nation, he that feareth him, or God, and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So that vision that Peter received on the housetop there, and then the unfolding of events, Peter became convicted without a doubt that God was bringing in the Gentiles into the house of faith through Jesus Christ. And so here, Peter's not just thinking it now, he's actually relaying his convictions. And these are new convictions, just a few days old. And remember, there's individuals accompanying Peter, Jews who are accompanying Peter. And you can imagine that they're wrestling with this prejudice of generations long that's been ingrained into their thinking, that the Gentiles are sinners above all else and rejected of God. And yet here they're in an experience that's actually making history. It's breaking down barriers between Jew and Gentile. And so they're hearing Peter say this. They probably talked to him along the way about it, but now they're hearing Peter preach this, that whoever worketh righteousness because of their fear, their honor of God, is accepted with him, and through the name of Christ, they will receive remission of sins. Not just forgiveness, but remission, removal of sins. Quite amazing when you think about it. In Christ Jesus, there is no barrier between a human being over in Russia versus a human being in Mexico versus a human being in Asia. There's no barriers. We're all one in Christ Jesus. That's the foundation of the gospel. So Peter here, in 10 verses, brings out the gospel in a very simple and yet powerful way. And Christ is the center of that gospel. And what effect did it have on the Gentiles listening? Just 10.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. And by heard, they took it internally. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter.
Amen, and thank you, sister. So, before Peter had finished his talk, the Holy Ghost was poured out upon the Gentiles. Everybody in the room there, not just Cornelius, and I believe you're right when it says that all of them which heard the word, in other words, not just listened to it, but believed it, determined to follow it, accept it. So I believe you're correct there, sister. But all of those who heard the words and received the words, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon. Now, Peter didn't have to put his hands on them. No one touched these individuals before they could receive the Holy Ghost. And when they received the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with tongues. So the tongues that they were speaking had to be in the language of the Jews. Because tongues there means languages. So they heard, the Jews heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. If they didn't understand what they were saying, they could not have recognized they were glorifying or magnifying God. So here these Gentiles were now speaking Hebrew. And they hadn't learned Hebrew before. So just as the disciples, 120 of them in fact, were able to speak in other foreign languages, here the same gift to speak in languages was given to the Gentiles. Question that says, are you sure? I mean, sure that they were speaking Hebrew? No, that's kind of, there were Jews that were there. The Jews came from Jerusalem. Jews speak Hebrew. So that's where I'm bringing that analogy in. Are there any other thoughts? Yeah, Cornelius was speaking in a language that the Jews recognized, or they would not have been able to know Cornelius and the rest of them were magnifying God. If they were speaking in an unknown language, they wouldn't have known that God was being magnified. They wouldn't have known what was being said. But because they could understand what was being said, and that means they had to understand the language that was being spoken. And it had to be a language that the Gentiles did not previously understand, or it would not have been a gift of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. So just like with the disciples, now was happening to the Gentiles. And notice here, these Gentiles had not yet been baptized with water.
And I was going to say also, the Gentiles were not circumcised. As I understand, the circumcision was for the Jewish people. And I just was wondering if the ones who were circumcised made that distinction, and because God was talking to the Gentiles as well as the Jewish in the tongues.
Yeah, and that's quite interesting. Quite interesting as well, because the disciples that were speaking in the languages of the other Jews that had come from 15 or 16 different countries were speaking in the native tongue of those Jews, which was not Hebrew because they came from other countries. They may have understood Hebrew, but the tongues that were being spoken at Jerusalem to the 3,000 or so individuals was in different languages other than Hebrew. But here we have the Gentiles that don't understand the Jewish language of Hebrew now speaking Hebrew. At least some of them were speaking Hebrew. Peter was able to understand it, and he didn't know any other language other than Hebrew, although the gift of tongues may have permanently given him that ability to speak in that other language that he spoke. But here, the Jews heard them speaking in their language and were magnifying God. Quite interesting. So just as you say, it was sort of a reversal of what had taken place in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, the disciples were able to speak in foreign languages of the Gentiles, even though the Jews had come from those countries. And now the Gentiles were speaking in the foreign language of the Jews. Quite interesting. So you can imagine the looks that were on the faces of Peter and the rest of the Jews that were there. And what a marvelous way for God to work in breaking down that barrier between Jew and Gentile, and doing it in such a miraculous way that they knew it had to be from God. Amen. A comment in the room says, what a wonderful gift to show that they had the truth. Amen.
Yeah, I have a question. I may have mentioned this before, so please forgive me if I'm repeating myself. It's in relation to the operation of the gift of tongues, which is a literal language, as we know. And that is, there's been put forth, I've only known of another way that it can be interpreted from the scriptures, and what's put forth, has been put forth to me, and no doubt you've probably heard of it, is when the gift of tongues is operating, a literal tongue, so not gibberish, but a tongue that someone's never learned, it is claimed that there are ministries, etc., that do it right now as we speak. That's what's claimed. And that they say they were an English person, so they speak English. But the other people hear them that are foreign to English, the language English, can hear them in their own language. That's said to be the gift of tongues. Now, does anyone agree with that? Because I haven't found that in the Bible, or I can't see that. I've always understood it like just as what I thought the Bible was saying, and that is that they were actually speaking other tongues and they actually knew that they were speaking other tongues because they were, what was coming out of their mouth wasn't their mother tongue. Am I making sense, or am I making something out of this?
No, I understand what you're saying, dear brother. And I think you're correct. It says here that they heard them speak with tongues. So the Gentiles were speaking Gentile, but the Jews heard them in their own language. Or the Gentiles were actually speaking in the language of the Jews, and that's why the Jews heard them speaking with tongues. So, you can look at it both ways. But when you look up the Greek meaning of tongues, the word for tongues is glossa, G-L-O-S-S-A. And it means a language naturally unacquired. And that's Strong's Greek word number 1100. So a language that's naturally unacquired. In other words, they didn't have the ability to speak in that language before the gift came to them. So when you look up the Greek word, it gives you the idea that they were actually speaking in a foreign language. It was not that their hearers were hearing a foreign language, but they were actually speaking in their own common tongue. But glossa means the ability to speak in a foreign language that you did not learn. Now, I'm not discounting that a gift of tongues can also be where the hearers hear in their own language when the speaker is not speaking that language himself. Because that would accomplish the very same purpose of spreading the gospel in the understanding of the listeners, which is why the gift of tongues was originally given, the true gift. And I believe it was Brother Dick, when we were discussing this topic last Sabbath, after our sermon, mentioned that there was an individual that he knows of or had read of that did not know how to speak or communicate with the people that he was trying to witness to. I guess he had gone there as a missionary. And God had given him the gift of tongues, and he had never forgotten that language. In other words, it was miraculously given, and ever from that point on, he was able to speak in that language. So whether the disciples received the language and never forgot it, or whether they only had the gift for that particular meeting and no other meetings past that point, the Bible really doesn't say, but it goes right along with the purpose for the gift of tongues, to be able to reach the audience whom you're witnessing to. And here the Gentiles were witnessing to the Jews, and the Jews were already believers, but they were also prejudiced. So the fact that they were able to speak in the language of the Jews that they had never learned before broke down, or did a lot to break down, that barrier of prejudice. So in a way, the Gentiles were witnessing to the Jews. Hey, we're of your family, and God wants you to accept us in Jesus Christ. We're all one, no longer two groups. So even those that had accepted Christ needed to be witnessed to. And God's Spirit doesn't make mistakes. So the Jews had some learning to do. And God used the Gentile converts to do it. So even though Peter was an apostle and what you could call a pillar in the Christian church, he still had learning to do. And don't we all? No matter how much truth we know, no matter how many years we may have been in this message, don't we all still have learning to do? Amen. Truth is progressive. There's always going to be new things for us to learn, but the new things we learn do not in any way contradict old truth. We call it old truth, but it's still truth. We're never going to learn anything from God that contradicts what God has already established. The Sabbath is always going to begin at sundown Friday and end at sundown Saturday. There's not going to be any new truth that comes to change that established fact of truth. And that's one way to determine new light. If it contradicts established truth, it's not new light. It's just a different way of presenting error. It's a new way of presenting error. So, amen. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, never contradicts truth that's already established. And I'm not talking about custom and tradition that's already established. I'm talking about biblical truth. Christ is our high priest in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary ever since October 22, 1844. There's not going to be any new light that comes that contradicts that established fact of truth. And if there is so-called new light that comes and tries to contradict that truth, you know, it's just a different shade of error. It's error put in a new wrapped up present. So here, new light was coming to Peter and to the Jews that were with him. And as we continue reading, they took it back to the Jews in Jerusalem. And all of it was designed to break down the prejudice, to get rid of that barrier between Christian and Christian. So each one of us needs to be in a learning position, not just a teaching position, a learning position as well, so that new light from God will not be refused because we think we know it all. Because we don't. If we're faithful to the end and we make it to heaven, we're going to continue to learn new things throughout eternity. And there will always be more to learn. Praise God for indeed sending us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, to reproach.
This is great, because sometimes after hearing something so long, our brains go to sleep when certain phrases are said, and it's like you can't really get to the heart of the matter until you break the shell.
Oh, hello. My speakers are playing at the beginning. You're all sounding a bit wonky from time to time. At first, my mic was going into. I wanted to make a comment about something that my dear sister said 10 or 15 minutes ago, about sometimes not really taking in the words. I had a similar experience recently. I was having a Bible study with my dear brother James, and I came across a simple little phrase, nothing really, just talk about peace through believing. And the words suddenly sank in, peace through believing, and I thought, wow, and I said to Brother James, wow, isn't that just true? If we believe, we can have such peace through all sorts of trials and tribulations. I've probably had my share the last 10 years or so, and I would never have got through without the peace, the joy, the security that comes through believing. It's not a new thought, is it? But I just wanted to emphasize how sometimes it can really, really just hit you. Thank you.
That's a good point you brought up, Elder Bob, about these were Jews that already believed Jesus Christ, and we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that tongues are for those who don't believe, not for those who believe, but yet you had this distinction of races, we're the chosen people, and then you've got the Gentiles, that's the rest of the races of the world, and there's this prejudice. So there's this unbelief regarding can they be on the same par with themselves. And then the gift's given and boom, oh my, wow, no respecter of persons. It's not a new concept. If you look up the concordance, of course, it tells us that God's no respecter of persons more than once in the Old Testament.
Amen. And you're absolutely right, brother. The Jews were actually unbelievers in that aspect of who could be saved or who Christ came to save. They didn't believe that the Gentiles could be saved. But, I mean, even in the Old Testament, it mentions, God is very specific to mention that if a stranger embraces the desires to worship the God of Israel and embraces the Jewish faith, they're to be accepted into their brotherhood. So, I mean, that's in Exodus, I believe it is, and I think it's repeated in Deuteronomy, that the stranger that believeth in me is no longer to be ostracized as a stranger. They're to be brought into the household of faith. And here we see that the Jews had become so traditionalized as to forget that a stranger, a Gentile, if they choose to worship God, are to be brought into the house of faith, no longer treated or ostracized as a stranger. So it's just marvelous how God works in finding the best way to break down prejudice without causing a lot of headache. There was no way that Peter, as well as the other Jews that were with him, could avoid believing that God had broken down that barrier. It was so clear, so plain. And as we continue here, we see that Peter took somewhat of a leading role in helping that barrier to be cast away, cast aside. And I think God knew that Peter had to be the one to do it. That's why Peter was given that vision. None of the other disciples were given it. So, again, God knows what he's doing. Amen. Another verse says, neither let the son of the stranger or Gentile that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenants, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters.
I'll parable of the virgins invited to the wedding, and when they weren't ready, they went out and found those that were and brought them into the wedding.
Yeah, Christ had a parable where he had sent out his servants with invitations to different individuals to come to the wedding feast. Not wedding feast, but come to the feast. And they all made excuses. And then he said, well, go out into the highways and the hedges and bid them come in. And the servants did so and said, there's still room. And then God said, whoever will, let him come in. So the Jews that were given the gospel and refused it, it then went out to the highways and the hedges, and there's still room. Whosoever will, let him come. And drink of the water of life. And that's how Revelation ends. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's that invitation to the feast. May we not make excuses. So, amen. And the verses that I read earlier are taken from Isaiah 56, 3-7. So not just in Exodus and or Deuteronomy, but also in Isaiah. It was also 500 or so years later it was repeated. So amen. And thank you, dear brother, for the texts. Are there any other thoughts before we open for a season of prayer? Please go right ahead. Well, let's please bow our heads and our knees, and whoever would like to pray, please feel free to do so, and I'll go ahead and lead out. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so very much for being in control of thy great work. Thank you also for the tenderness and the kindness that you manifest. And even though we may have strong convictions upon things that you see are not true, yet you find the most perfect way to correct us and to lead us out of that error into thy marvelous word of truth. Thank you so much for doing so, and please forgive us for our dullness, for our slowness of understanding. And thank you for your long suffering towards each one of us, unwilling that we remain in error, but that we move forward into the truth, being set free by Jesus our Savior. Continue to spread thy truth around the world. Continue to open the hearts of more and more people to behold the light as it shines from the Savior, and to join with your efforts to separate them out of the pit of darkness and establish their feet on the solid rock. We pray, Father, that you'll be with all of those requesting prayers. Please hear and answer their petitions. We especially lift up the public meetings of evangelistic efforts that will be taking place there in Uganda. Please send thy Spirit and angels to go beforehand to prepare hearts for the messages, and let them push through all of the barriers and all of the diversions that the devil may throw across their path to keep them from attending. And let them be there We also pray for our dear sister Lynn and her precious mom that you'll continue to work in their lives and to bring them back with us again soon. We also pray for those that have requested unspoken prayers or silent prayers, and thank you so much for hearing and answering each one. We also pray for the two couples, the four people that our dear brother James and sister Lucy have been witnessing to, and let the seeds of truth lodge deeply in good heart soil among them, and let them indeed continue to be curious, continue to study, and to embrace the present truth. We also pray that you'll continue to work in the life of Lucy's daughter in both physical health as well as spiritual health. And thank you so much for allowing that relationship to be rekindled. And I pray that her heart may be given fully to thee. Thank you so much for doing so and for hearing and answering all of these prayers according to thy perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, dear Lord, for bringing love into an imperfect place. Because without that love, all of us would have been lost. And thank you for the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Help us to keep that love always in our minds when we are dealing with people, because you do, and we want to be just exactly like you. Send your Holy Spirit into each one of our lives, and may he find a permanent dwelling place there, so each one we come in contact with will be drawn to the wonderful love of God, the Godhead. There is no other place in this whole universe that is so inviting, which holds such joy for those who enter. Forgive us when we have forgotten things or remembered incorrectly, and be with us until the end.
Precious Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of seeing your church in the past and how you work to correct things. It is perfect in every way, and I pray that our faith would increase to know this better and to be able to praise you more intelligently than we can currently do. And we will never be, happy with our present attainments, which, if they were wrought in you, have nothing to do with us in truth, but that you could use us instead of someone else using us. We can trust you. We know that your plan for us is so different from the devil's plan for us, and we thank you, you've got a way of escape prepared for us out of every sort of difficulty. And there are so many dear souls out there that are in Protestant churches and Catholic communion that believe some very difficult things for us to understand as Bible-believing Christians. And I pray that we would be on higher ground, not thinking ourselves above them, but be on higher ground of understanding where they're coming from, however convicted they are about something, that we would be spirit-filled to meet their needs and help them see the truth without any of self appearing in the process. And thank you for impressing us with needs in our own life and the life of your church. Pray that indeed. Elder Bob's already mentioned this, but it's not a camp meeting, but it's a camp, as Brother Joel corrected me, of the evangelistic efforts that are going forward right now as Catholics and Protestants meet in Uganda, Kampala. We pray that Sister Agnes will be a part of that one way or another somehow, or at least make some contact with Brother Joel, Brother Kenneth sometime soon, and Sister Petwa, that she might have the privilege of seeing, like Cornelius saw in Peter, the truth of what God has done for Peter, that the testimonies would be heard by Agnes and she'd be convicted that there is more truth to receive. And there's also with that things to unlearn, and Spirit guide her to do this work, because we all as Christians want to unlearn anything that's not really beneficial to advancing in the truth, with the truth. And we want to take firmer hold by faith that we can live out the truth that you have shown us clearly that can't be contradicted. Also want to uphold dear brother Sydney with joy that he and his dear son, Haggai, are successful in pursuing a course in the Philippines for the near future, that the plan would be run by you, what their efforts are in medical evangelism, the combining of medical and medical missionary work with evangelism. Thank you for blessing Haggai to complete his 3-year course. Please continue to be with him in his pursuits of being a natural therapist, currently getting some practical experience. Thank you that this arm is a way of opening the door to other things. I pray that more understanding, more intelligence would be ours as we pursue, increase our understanding in these areas, because there's so many people that just really do think, you know, medical doctors, etc., in this area, that it's, you know, it's just make-believe. There's nothing good in natural therapy. There are those that are so learned that say these sorts of things, and that has a power to stop people from being interested. But thank you that the work is going on and miracles are being wrought by just some of the most simplest of things, especially diet. And I do uphold the Sabbath Remnant Alliance as well, a fantastic tool to give a voice worldwide for your movement in these last days, to show that your people not only exist all around the globe, but are interested in uniting with one another, thinking the same things, speaking the same things, and giving a united front against the enemy with the sword of truth, the word of God. Please continue to impress those that haven't already joined, such as Brother Sydney, to do it, because we would appreciate his and others' input, because we need it. And thank you for answering prayer in an instant or later on down the track. I pray we endure and to the end, as Sister Joan mentioned, so that we can receive the promises that are sure to come for those who run the race through faith in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And amen. Amen indeed. This is the hymn that Brother Dick was singing earlier, and I think it's an excellent hymn. So why don't we sing this? Oh, let me walk with thee, my God, as Enoch walked in days of old. Place thou my trembling hand in thine and sweet communion with me hold. Even though the path I may not see, yet Jesus let me walk.
I cannot, dare not walk alone. The tempest rages in the sky. A thousand snares beset my feet. A thousand foes are lurking nigh. Still the raging of the sea. O Master, let me walk with thee.
I may rest my hand in thine. I'll count the joys of earth but loss, and firmly, bravely journey on. I'll bear the banner of the cross to Zion's spread glorious gate I see. Yet, Savior, let me walk with thee.
Amen. I love that tune. So thank you, brother, for singing that and bringing that other hymn to mind. Are there any other songs, any other thoughts, comments, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
Kind of a news flash about Anne, whom we've been keeping in prayer. They moved her from intensive care to the transitional care unit, and I guess she wasn't doing very well, so we're waiting to see what happens next with her. So please keep her in your prayers.
We will do so. In fact, let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be with Sister Anna and continue to be her great physician, to let her lean her entire soul upon thee, and be content with whatever your will is in her life. But we pray that she may be brought back to health. And please also be with Bonnie and help her to rest more heavily upon thee and to trust in your wisdom and leadership in her life and in the life of her friends and loved ones as well. Thank you so much for doing so and for hearing and answering this prayer. In thy name, amen. Well, dear ones, have a wonderful remaining week, and we're looking forward to fellowshipping with you this coming Friday and Sabbath. Keep looking up, keep advancing, and continue to follow the leadership and guidance of God in your life, listening for the still small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," and then obey. Grow in grace. And we're looking forward to fellowshipping with you soon. So good night, dear ones, and may God bless.